I have just a real simple message tonight. I want to preach about comfort. Not ease or leisure, that use of the word comfort, but what we need when the hurts and the heartaches and the trials and the tribulations come into our life. And we've all been there at times. There's some of us that are going through it right now. There'll be others that tomorrow or the next day will have a hurt or a heartache. And tonight, I just want to share three truths from those two verses that we read, truths that will come into play when we get into those situations in our life where we need to be comforted. And I'm going to make my three points tonight by asking three questions and then answering those questions. First question is, who is our comforter? Second is, what does he comfort us in? And the third question is, why does he comfort us? Why does he comfort us? So let's just get started. Who is our comforter? It's answered in verse 3 that we read a moment ago where it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Who is our comforter? God is. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of all mercies. I think it's important to look at the words that the Bible uses. I've told you before, mercy is not getting something that I deserve. When I do something wrong and I deserve to be punished, and somebody says, and this hasn't happened to me recently, but some of it has happened to you because of your testimonies. Like when you break the speed limit and the policeman pulls up behind you and stops you. And comes up to the window and says, "You know, you were going 15, and by the way, this hasn't happened to me recently, so I'm not confessing tonight. But, you know, you were going 15 miles over the speed limit, and I should give you a ticket. But I'm going to let you off with a warning tonight, or a warning today." Lois, why are you smiling? I haven't heard your testimony. Oh, okay. I always like to look around and see who's smiling. But when the policeman says, "I'm just going to let you off with a warning," he's showing you mercy. You were speeding. You deserve a ticket. You deserve to pay the fine. But somebody in authority decided to show mercy on you and didn't give you something that you deserved. If it wasn't for mercy from God, we'd all be punished. If it wasn't for God's mercy, we'd all be under his condemnation. If it wasn't for God's mercy, we'd all be in hell tonight. Because you see, if there's no mercy, there's no forgiveness. And if there's no mercy, there's no grace. Because unless God gave me mercy, until I came to that point where I realized that I was a sinner and received Jesus Christ as my Savior, which, by the way, is an act of grace. Grace is getting something I don't deserve. Mercy is not getting something I deserve. Grace is getting something I don't deserve. And unless God showed me mercy to keep me alive and to keep me out of hell until I got saved, I'd have no chance to receive grace. I'd have no chance to exercise the grace that we're saved by getting something that we don't deserve. And so if it wasn't for mercy, I'd never be in a position to get God's grace. Now, so he's the one that comforts us, the Father, the author, the originator, the Bible says, of all mercy. The Father of all mercy. And what the Bible is saying when it says the Father of all mercy is, you don't go to anywhere else to get better mercy. You're going to the source of all mercy when you go to God. Now, all of us have been comforted by others. And I'm going to move on to the next phrase in the verse. All of us have been comforted by others. We've received comfort from our parents. When you fall and skin your knee and your mom puts methylate on it and a Band-Aid, that's comfort. When you're at your grandma's and a bee stings you and she puts cornstarch on it or whatever that she puts on it to take the swelling down, that's being comforted. And you, all of us were comforted by our parents, by our grandparents. We've been comforted by our husband or our wife, our spouse. They provide comfort. We've been comforted by our brothers and our sisters. We were comforted by friends. But when that verse says that He's the God of all comfort, what the Bible is saying that is that everybody else that gives us comfort learns from God. Everybody else that gives us comfort gets that from God because He's the God of all comfort. And tonight I just want you to realize and to think with me, who better to comfort us than God? I mean, it's wonderful to have a mom and a dad and a grandpa and a grandma and a spouse and brothers and sisters and friends that provide us comfort. And God uses those people. But who better to comfort us than God? Because first of all, He made you and He made me. We were created by God. You say, oh no, preacher, I had a mom and I had a dad. So did I. But I was made by God. I was created by God. I was conceived by God's plan and by His design. If He wasn't in it, none of us would be here. We were created just as, I mean, I know He didn't take dust and make us like He did Adam. I know He didn't take a rib and make you ladies by a rib like He did Eve. But just as much as Adam and Eve were created in the Garden of Eden, you have your life tonight because you were made by God. Now, who better to comfort us than the one that created us? Who better to comfort us than the one who put us together? Who better to comfort us than the one that has molded us into what we are today? And so when the hurts and the heartaches and the trials come, who better to give us an arm to lean on or a shoulder to cry on or a pat on the back or a hug and that says, I am going through you with this, we will make it, than the one who made you? Not a better comforter than God, the God of all comfort. He knows you. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you better than your parents know you. He knows you better than your spouse or your brothers or your sister or your friends know you. Who better to comfort you than somebody who knows you better than anybody else? And who better to comfort you than He who loves you better than anybody else? The God of all comfort is the same God who gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave that Son. And I want to remind you tonight of a truth that sometimes I think we take for granted. The God of all comfort loves you. Not just as a part of a big collection, not just as a part of the world, but He loves you as an individual, as a person, as a single unit of life, however you want to say it. He loves you. Who better to comfort us than one who loves us better than anybody else? So who is our comforter? God is. God is. Second question. What does He comfort us in? Verse 4. It says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. This morning we talked about an omniscient God. We talked about a God that knows everything. We talked about a God that sees everything, hears everything, and again, knows everything. I mentioned this morning, an omniscient God at the same time knows the past, knows the present, knows the future. We divide it up into segments. We segment our life. We look back to the past. Sometimes we can remember it, sometimes we can't. But we look back to the past. We live in the present. I mean, we live in what goes around, on around us today. We have no idea what the future holds. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, neither do you. Nobody does but God. And yet our omniscient God knows what has happened to us yesterday. He knows what is happening to us today. And he knows what will happen to us tomorrow. He's omniscient. And all that is in his mind at the same time. He doesn't have it segmented. It's all together. And I got to find out where I'm at. Just a minute. Okay, here I am. So it's all, here I am. It's all in his mind together. Our past, our present, and our future. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going to go through tomorrow and the next day. And so, like I said this morning, he's not surprised as to what's going to happen tomorrow, like we will be. He is not shocked. He's not caught off guard. And so the Bible says, when it says, he comforteth us in all our tribulation, it means just that. You see, there's probably people here tonight that have things that have happened to them in the past that they're still not over. And their parents or their spouse or those that stay with them, they might not know that a person is hurting from something that happened yesterday. They may not know that. I mean, they may be able to see the hurts today, but they can't see that that person that they love, who they're trying to comfort, still has hurts from yesterday. And for sure, they can't see the hurts that will happen tomorrow. But I'm glad we have a God who comforteth us in all our tribulation. He knows when we're still hurting from yesterday. He knows when, how we're hurting today. He knows how we're going to hurt tomorrow. And so when the Bible says that he comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that is exactly what it means. He says, look, I know how you hurt. I know how it all comes together. I know how it's going to hurt tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And as your comforter, I will comfort you in all of that. All of it. Every single bit of it. There's not a thing that happens in your life that causes you hurt. There's not a thing that happens in your life that causes you a heartache. There's not a thing that happens in your life that makes you want to cry and weep. And I know sometimes we get to the point in our life where we say, nobody cares. Nobody understands. And that may be true from a human standpoint, but I want to remind you tonight that you have a God who's the God of all comfort, who knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly how you hurt. And he is there to comfort you. Now, point number three. Why does he comfort us? Why does he comfort us? Well, we might jump immediately to the answer. Well, because he loves us. We're his children. And just like we have children, we don't want them to feel much discomfort. We'll step in to help them when we can. So will God. He'll step into our lives and he'll provide that comfort because he can. And because he loves us as his children. And that's true. That's absolutely true. He will comfort us because he loves us. But I want to give you a different perspective tonight. A perspective that's just as true as the fact that he loves us. The purpose that we are here, the purpose that we are not already in heaven tonight, is because God wants to mold us to be more like Jesus Christ. You see, If God didn't have anything else to accomplish in our life, when we got saved, he'd take us immediately to heaven. He loves us. Why would he leave us here? Why would he? He'd just take us to heaven. But he has something that he wants to accomplish in our life. He has a goal. He has an objective. He wants to make us more like Jesus. David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. He was saying, when I awake and I'm just like Jesus, then I'll be satisfied. The Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I want to be conformed to his likeness. I want to be like him. And that's what God is trying to do in our life. You see, he has the power to keep everything out of our life that causes us discomfort. God has the power, if he wanted to, he could keep everything out of our life that causes us a hurt, that causes us a heartache, that is a tribulation, that is a trouble. He has the power. He stands at the sentry point of our life as the guard of our life, and everything that comes into our life, listen to me, everything that comes into our life has to go through him. There is nothing that gets into your life that doesn't go through God. He approves everything that comes into our life. And he has the power, when things that will cause us a hurt comes, he has the power to say, no, you cannot go in. No, I am not letting you pass this point. No, you're not going any further. You're going to stay out of that life. He has the power to do that. But God knows that if we never have heartaches, if we never have hurts, we will never grow. We will never be more like Jesus. And so he lets things come into our lives so that we will be more like Christ. He wants us to grow. And so our purpose, his purpose in comforting us, yes, is to because he loves us, but his purpose, he has another purpose. And it's found in the last part of verse 4, where the Bible says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What that verse is saying is, when you're in troubles, when you're in heartaches, when you're being comforted by God, you're in training. God has you in a class that where you are learning what it is to be comforted, so that when other people have that same trouble and that same heartache, you can go to them and comfort them with the same comfort that you got from God. That's what that verse is saying. And that's what God does to us when he puts us in tribulation, when he puts us in heartache and comforts us. It's not just a comfort. Yes, he comforts us because he loves us, but he comforts us so that we can learn how to do it, so that we can go and do it to somebody else. Hence the title of my message, Comforted to be a Comforter. Comforted to be a Comforter. In between our daughter, Jessica, and our son, Adam, Debbie and I lost a little baby. She wasn't pregnant for very long, 9 or 10 weeks. But to us, it was a little life. It was a miracle from God. And you've heard me say many times, and I believe this is true, I believe life starts at conception. I believe those little babies that are in their mother's wombs are just as much a life as I am and you are tonight. And when we lost that little baby, there were many, many people that said kind things. They tried to be a comfort. I can remember going to work, and I was working for a guy named Larry. And I did not know him very well. I'd only worked for him for a couple months. And I can remember the first day I went back to work, he called me into his office, and he said, I just want to let you know, my wife and I have lost 3 little babies and miscarriages. And the doctors have told us that we can't have any more children. And I just wanted to let you know that it hurts. I wanted to let you know the questions that I asked God the 3 times it happened to me. I want to tell you how I feel. And if I can be of any help, I've been there and I can help you. And so we got to know each other real well. We talked. And he shared the things that he went through, that I was going through at that particular time. Brother Leonard said it this morning in Sunday school. I can't comfort you very well when I stand beside you and you've lost a spouse, because I haven't experienced that. Like he said this morning, I can't say I know how you feel because I have no idea how you feel. I can't comfort you like I want to when I go to the funeral home with you and your brother or your sister is laying in the casket, because I've never experienced that. I haven't been there. I can't say I know how you feel because I don't know how you feel. I can't comfort you like I want to when we go to a funeral home and we bury your mom or your dad. I don't know how you feel. I've never been there. I haven't gone through cancer. And so you that are battling that disease, or you that are battling it, I can't tell you I know how you feel. You that are a spouse of one that's going through cancer, I can't comfort you because I've never done that. You that have had spouses that have suffered Alzheimer's, and I've wept with you, and I've cried with you, and I've hugged you, but I don't know how you feel because I've never experienced that. And here's my point tonight. It's a one-point message. I just want you to get this one point. I have not experienced any of those things. I can't be a very good pastor in those situations because I do not know how you feel. I can't relate. But there is somebody in this room tonight that has gone through every one of those things. There's somebody sitting in these pews tonight. Everything I've mentioned has gone through those things, or are going through it right now. And God got you through it. When you were going through it, or as you're going through it today, when the Bible says He's the God of all comfort, you know exactly what it's talking about. Those days when you got up and you said, I just don't know how I'm going to make it through today. I just don't know how I can get through today. You felt an invisible arm around you. You felt a shoulder in front of your head. And the God of all comfort, the God that has the everlasting arm for you to lean on, was there beside you and got you through it. Why? One reason is because He loved you. One reason is that you're His child. One reason is that He wanted you to see that you could trust Him to get you through whatever situation life throws at you. He wanted you to see that He's the God of all comfort. But there's another reason. And that's so that when somebody that sits in the pew in front of you, or in the pew in back of you, or in the pew beside you, they go through that same thing, you can go to them and be a comfort with the same comfort that God used to comfort you. Now here's my point tonight. Again, just one point. Please don't waste that training that God gave you. Please don't miss the purpose that God has in your life for putting you through that trial and that heartache and that hurt. He'll put somebody in your life. I guarantee, I've seen it time after time after time, where when one of our folks goes through something, and it may be for a few days, it may be for a few months, it may be for a few years, and they hurt every single day. And you see God bring them through it and get the victory. it isn't too long till somebody else comes into our congregation that's going through that same, very same thing. And what God expects us to do when we've gone through it is to reach out to that person. And just like Larry said to me, he said, I've been there. I know how you feel. I ask the same questions that you're asking God. Let me tell you how I got through it. And that's God's purpose, one of his purposes, for putting us through the hurts and the heartaches that he puts us through so that we can go and be a comfort to others with the same comfort that he gave to us. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being that kind of God. Thank you for being the God, the Father of all mercies, and the God of all comfort. I thank you, Father, for the times, the many, many times in just our church family, we've gotten people through heartaches and hurts. I thank you, Father, for the way that you're working in people's lives today, right now, getting them through the heartaches and the hurts that they're going through today. And Father, I'll thank you tomorrow for the way you comfort our folks for the heartaches and hurts that will come tomorrow. But Father, I pray you'd help us realize there's a deeper purpose. There's another purpose why you give us that comfort, and that's so that we can be a comfort to others. And I pray you give us your eyes, your ears, so that we could see those people and their troubles, and we could reach out to them. I pray, Father, you'd make it so. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to them the last 20 minutes or so. Show them that they're a sinner. Show them that there's a penalty for that sin. Show them that Jesus paid the penalty. And Father, I pray tonight they'd make that decision to receive Christ. Help them not to walk out of this place with any doubt at all that they've been born again on their way to heaven because of what Jesus did for them on Calvary. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.